I told some things this morning, and I said that the Lord being willing, maybe we could pick up from there. I'd love to try to pick up from there tonight if you'll just let me talk with you to where I won't have to holler. And I'll try my best to talk with you. I want to go back and remind you of something that I read in the Scripture. Now, I tell you, we're living in an exciting time. That's the truth. I know that this is a crucial hour, and I know that it's a dreadful time in a lot of ways. It's the beginning of sorrows. For the world, it's the beginning of sorrows. But I'll tell you what, if you could see what I see and understand what I understand, you'd know that this was an exciting time. This is one of the most exciting and thrilling events and times that's ever come upon the face of the earth. It's a thrilling time. When I was a boy, I used to slip off to the movies, you know. And long then, that's all I knew. And to me, it was just a thrilling time when time came to go to the movies. You know, all of that on the screen had just come alive to me. And then in later years, when I found out that all of that was just fiction, you know, and that every bit of that was just a symbol of what God was doing in reality, and I learned that all of the wars and excitements of fighting and the settling of the frontiers of the Old West and all of the adventures at sea and all of the great excitement of deep divers, you know, into the sea for pearls and all of the celebrities of movie stars and presidents and all of those astronauts, all those things was just a tie of what the reality of the sons of God was doing. And I'll tell you what, I realize that this is the most exciting thing that ever happened. All of that just points to you and I. We're the greatest excitement on the earth. And I'll tell you what, it's thrilling to me. I'm thrilled beyond measure to think that I'm acquainted with God and Brother Zale, that I have access to the holies of holies, and I have the opportunity to have the knowledge of God that can create the stars and do like Joshua, control the sun or like Moses and just open up the earth. You know, a lot of people don't get excited. But you know why they don't get excited? Because they don't have access to it. They're unbelievers. That's why they don't get excited. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't see anything to get so excited about. Now, I agree with you. You don't. The Bible said you'll not see when good comes. You don't see anything to get excited about. But I'll tell you one thing. If you see what I see, you couldn't see it without being excited. The mere fact you're not excited proves to me that you don't see it. The revelation of St. John the Divine, and yet, though it's referred to as the revelation of St. John the Divine, yet in reality the Bible calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to read that to you. I read to you from time to time this, that you might understand that I haven't gone off on a tangent somewhere, you know, I got off on the deep end. I teach the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. That's what I teach. That's the way God gave it to me. And if you'll notice in the book of St. John the Divine, it starts with the first chapter, and the first thing it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which shortly must come to pass. He sent it and signified it by his angel to his servant John. All right, now, so then this is an exciting time. It's the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Reading over in the book of Revelation, I'd like for you to notice again now. I'm just going to call your attention back to something. Notice in the 15th verse of the 11th chapter, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell down upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. All right, look over here just a little further now, over the 12th chapter. And there was war in heaven, that's the 7th verse. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and out of the sea, for the devil is come down on you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The scriptures go on to tell us here that the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should nourish her for times, time and a half a time. I want to go up here to the board, and I'm just going to talk with you now, because like I say, I'm real hoarse. Real tight in here, tight in my chest, because I'm tired and I'm still trying to hold on to God and find out what I can and try to share with you. So I'd appreciate it if you'd listen real close and try to give me your undivided attention. It's not that I'm pretty, but Peter said, look on us. Just look on us. And the Bible said that the man gave heed to Peter, expecting to receive something of Peter. And so, because of that, God gave him something. Isn't that right? Peter said, gold and silver have I none, but such as I do have, give I thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible said the man believed it, and he went leaping, jumping, running, and praising God into the temple. Is that right? All the people saw it and came together in the temple or over on the porches of Solomon, wondering at the great miracle which had taken place. So then, God is great, and the scriptures or the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the marrow from the bone and the spirit from the soul. And the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. A lot of people would say, Brother Pike, I'd like to be able to heal the sick. Well, you can. Somebody would say, I'd love to be able to open the blinded eyes. Well, you can. Somebody would say, well, I'd love to be able to raise the dead. Well, you can. You know, honestly, I'm telling you the truth from my heart. My cup's running over. My cup is running over. The things that I've seen in God and what I've learned in God, my cup runs over. I told my wife today, I said, Betty, all of the fear is eliminated. Fear concerning death, the fear of things that I didn't know, things that I couldn't understand, they hold no terror. They hold no fear for me, because I see, I understand. And I know that God's plan was a great plan, Brother Gonzalez. I know that God had a great master plan, a perfect plan, a plan that could not fail. And this great plan has been hid from the eyes of the people because of the deception of the evil perversion of Satan and satanic forces. They've been blinded. There's been a veil over their face, and they've not been able to see to the end of what God was doing. And Satan has distorted and made everything look bad, and he's made it look as though that God has made us and cut us off and put us down in a world of struggle to live, die, sink, or swim. But it's not that way at all. God created us. God loved us. God purchased us with his own blood. God had a plan, and that plan included death. I say that plan included death. And really, if you can understand death, death is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Death used to be a horrible thing for me. It used to have a terrifying meaning to me. And all the world lives under a dread, under a veil, under a covering, under something that hangs over them like a weight. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I can tell you of a sure thing, that if you understand the mind of God and you understand the things of God, death is absolutely nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's no more than flipping a pebble out in the Mississippi River. It's nothing. I thank God tonight for what He has revealed to me. I thank God tonight because I know that I've got power over death tonight. You know, there's a lot of things that I want to say, but when you're hoarse, it's so aggravating. But I want to try tonight, if you'll listen to me, I want to try to share a few thoughts with you tonight and see if you can understand what I'm saying. If you can get into the thought pattern of God tonight, I'd like for you to bear with me just a little bit tonight. Going back to Calvary, always back to Calvary, I say again, why do we go back to Calvary? I go back to Calvary for this reason. The only door that's ever been opened in heaven was opened at Calvary. You believe it? John caught a revelation about 96 A.D., which was just a few years after 33 A.D. He caught a vision, and that vision was the revelation of what had just took place just a few years before. Is that right? Just a few years before John caught what had happened at Calvary. Just a few years before 96 A.D., this thing took place, about 33 A.D. Just a few years later, John caught the revelation of what had taken place. And when he caught it, the Bible said he was in the mind of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord. He got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Is that right? When he did this, he saw that there was a door open in heaven. There was a door open in heaven. When John looked at Calvary, he saw this great door that had been opened in heaven. Where was the door open in heaven? Here at Calvary. How can you say that, Brother Pike? How can you say that that was a door open in heaven? Because Jesus, He said, I am the door. Is that right? I am the door to the sheepfold. So then here hangs the door between heaven and earth. How many remember how that shepherd, the astronaut, went up? Shepherd, a type of the Lord, went up. Never before had they ever broken through space. Never before had they ever conquered the space and broken through the atmosphere and the ionosphere and went up yonder and got out into space. Never before. But all of a sudden he broke through it. And he never did go up to the moon. He never did do that. But he broke through to make a door into the galaxies. From that time on, scientists were satisfied that they could climb Jacob's ladder. Because there had been a door open in heaven. Is that right? So then, looking at the door, here's the door open in heaven. John saw the revelation, and he looked and he saw this door. Now remember, he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And while he was in the Spirit, all of a sudden, he saw a door. There's one thing that you're going to have to do. And that's get in the Spirit if you ever see the door. You'll never see the door unless you can get in the Spirit. But my brothers and sisters, if you get in the Spirit, I want you to know tonight there is a door that is open in heaven and you and I can go in through that door. Is that right? There is a door that is open in heaven, and you and I can go in through that door tonight. There is a door that is open in heaven, but you've got to get into the Spirit to be able to see it. That door tonight is the rent veil of Calvary. That door is the rent veil of Calvary. The veil has been rent in twain, and because the veil has been rent, we can go into heaven. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? All right, let's look at it typically speaking right here. Brother Taylor has drawn here on the board the old tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, why did God have Moses to build a tabernacle? For your education and for mine. For the Bible said these things happen as an example unto us. It happened for our admonition. So then, as we look at these things, here's the tabernacle of the wilderness. There's the outer courts, there's the inner courts, and there's the holies of holies. Here is the outer court, then the inner court, which is called the holy place, and then inside the veil, it's called the holies of holies. So then, the holy place is the second court, but the holy of holies is the third place. Is that right? It is the veil, or within the veil, where the Ark of the Covenant sits. Is that right? Notice the similarity of some things here. Inside of this little veil, inside here sits the Ark of the Covenant. And covering this Ark is two cherubs, bent over with their wings like this, touching each other, representing the rainbow of the beautiful color of the cherubim wings, showing the rainbow that's over the covenant. Look at this. I get a beautiful picture of the two olive trees and a beautiful picture of Moses and Elijah, which is grace and law, reaching out over that. You see that? Reaching out over it. Here, two of them together are reaching out over it, covering this great Ark of the Covenant. I set my covenant in the clouds, and because of that, my covenant is there. So then we'll call this the Ark of my covenant. Nor you go into the Ark, and we'll call this the Ark of my covenant. And so then when Moses was born, they made a little Ark. And they found out it was the same way. Moses was a prophet child. Usually when a prophet child comes in the world, a lot of times the light is over his head when he's born. Like Brother Branham, when he's born in the world, they said a light was over his head when he was born in the world. And that light followed him. Now you say, why did it follow him, Brother Pike? Because he was God's Ark of the Covenant in the earth, and that great mind of God, which was inside of that little ark, that little body called Brother Branham, it caused the angelic beings to gather around it. And that light was the angel of God. Like in the Old Testament, what was said in the Old Testament? Said, I send my angel before you. Said, don't grieve him, for he will not pardon your transgression. My name is in him. Is that right? Said, he won't pardon your transgressions. And so then the angel of the Lord was with him. And Brother Branham would see the angel of the Lord as a pillar of fire. And people would get all excited over it. Because he would say that I see this angel or this pillar of fire. Is that right? But it's a true fact. As a rule, the people never saw no angel. The people never saw no pillar of fire. They just had to take Brother Branham's word for it. He said that he saw this great pillar of fire. What was it? He was a type of Moses, for the Bible said, as I was with Moses, or rather the voice did, said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. So then he was a type of Moses, and being a type of Moses, that same pillar of fire that led him through the wilderness, being a type of the church coming through the carnal mind, God sent a pillar of fire. And if you ever heard Brother Branham express it, he'd say, look at that beautiful light. It had colors like a rainbow. It had colors like a rainbow. Why? Because that was the same light that was over his head. When he was born, that rainbow was over the Ark of the Covenant. Is that right? How many of you know that the old priest had what they call the Urim Thummim that was shown on their breast? And when somebody came up before him, this Urim Thummim had 12 stones on it. What did it represent? Can you tell me? It represents represented the 12 apostolic teachings. It represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one of them had a stone. How do you remember what I said when Jesus came to me? The first thing he asked me, he said, "Where is the stone of thy birth?" That's the first thing he asked me. See, where's the record of it? Now, if I could have understood, I could have said, "Lord, the stone of my birth is the stone that was hewn out of the mountain at Calvary. That's proof that I was born. I've been born again. That's my stone." Now, so then he said, "Where is the stone of thy birth?" When these priests would stand there, here was that 12th apostolic foundation. For what? For truth. The 12 foundations that would set in the city called New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem would be founded upon that foundation. New Jerusalem would come down to be established upon that foundation. The writer said, "We're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God." And so then, when people come before the priest, they would stand there. And when the priest would commune with them, every time the people said something, it would flash on the Urim Thummim, whether it was right or wrong. Is that right? If they did not tell the truth, it would show up on the Urim Thummim. Why? Because it represented the foundation of truth. It represented the foundation of truth. Now, I don't know that this happened, but I believe that when they spoke the truth, that God would illuminate them, like the Bible said concerning Moses, his face glowed. That God would illuminate them, and that glory would flash into them stones. And those stones, in a conglomeration of color, would go back as a rainbow over their head to establish it as the truth covenant. That's what I believe. In other words, I believe, the Bible said this is as the waters of Noah to me, and he likens people to waters. I believe that the ark of God's covenant is out there tonight in the clouds of his people, and that ark of the covenant is out there to show the redemption that God offered to you and I. I believe that Christ will appear in the clouds of glory, and I believe you are those clouds of glory, and I believe that he'll suddenly come back in the clouds, the Bible said, to be glorified within his saints and to be admired of all. I believe that that's exactly what he's doing, and that the world doesn't see it. I teach that Jesus comes to the Jews as a natural man, that he walked with a natural Jew, that he's the head of a natural Jew nation, that he'll sit on the kingdom, on the throne of David, establish the kingdom of David in the millennium, and be a natural head to a natural Jew nation. But I teach that Christ is the head to a spiritual Jew and to a spiritual nation and to a spiritual kingdom of God. I teach that. That's differentiating between the Christ and the Lord. When the priest used their Urim Thummim, the truth would flash on the Urim Thummim. This was proof of whether or not God was in the statement of those that was communing with the priest. God made a little ark, overlaid it with gold, gold being typical of faith, overlaid it with gold, that this little ark might be symbolic of his covenant with Israel, that they would never be lost as long as they had this covenant. Is that right? And some of you remember, in the days of Eli, when the light had gone out, how that this ark of the covenant fell into the hands of the Philistines, because the light had gone out in the temple. And about the time the light was gone out, then Samuel was born. Samuel, you remember Hannah, how that Eli thought she was drunk, and how that God brought along little Samuel just at the time that the light had gone out. I believe with all my heart that gross darkness is covering the people. I believe the light has gone out. I believe that you're that temple tonight. And I believe the light has gone out of the temple because the oil has given out. I believe that. I believe they've let their oil run out as foolish virgins. And the light has gone out. And just about this time that the mind of Christ is beginning to rise. And that little Samuel is beginning to come into our heart. And God is beginning to do something. You say, where do you get that? How do you know not too long ago where the angel of God appeared to us down there in Florida, that I spoke of Brother Denny and what it had to do with him, And he went right down there. And when he got down there, the first thing happened to him, he had a little Samuel born unto him. I said it had to do over here with olive branch over here. And here come Denny over there to olive branch. And there we had to pray for that little Samuel. Denny told me, he said, Brother Pine, said I didn't have to pay for the birth of the child. And said beside that, said he give us a flagon of wine. What is it? Right at the very darkest part of the night, when the light has gone out, when the gospel light has gone, I made the statement, I said, by 1970, the light will be well on its way out. By 1970, it'll be gone. Look at Brother Oral Roberts, how it's gone out. Brother T.L. Osborne, how it's gone out. Look at all the other great preachers, how they've gone out. We prophesied some of them's death, or predict some of them's death, predicted some of them falling away and what would happen to them, and it's happened right down the line. Is that right? Because Eli is gone. The move of Eli is gone. The light's gone out, and this is a new move. The voice said to me, this is God's new business. God's new business. He saved the best of the last. Hallelujah. This is God's new wine. We sing that song, Jesus turned the water into wine. Just about the time that the light was gone out, no hope, all of a sudden, here comes Samuel, and he was brought into the house of God. I remember the vision we had of this place right here. And in the vision, the voice that called the world Mizpah. Brother Taylor checked it out. It was where Samuel judged Israel. Isn't that right? In other words, God is trying to do something. I made statement this morning or the other day that the angels that came to Brother Junior said the one thing you've got down there is a good well of water. A good well of water. Hallelujah. Draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. If you'd put a little joy on it, we'd get some water out of the wells tonight. So then, we see again that in this darkest hour, here comes the light. A cry, behold, the bridegroom coming. Go ye out to meet him. Rise up and trim your lamps. Look at this. Here is the three stages of the court. The outer, the inner, and the holies of holies. The holies of holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was. Whenever it was with Israel, everything was all right. If they ever got away from that Ark of the Covenant, then everything was all wrong. Is that right? So then, what does the holies of holies represent? What does the holies of holies mean? The holies of holies was typical of heaven. The holies of holies represented heaven. There is the first heaven, which is the outer court. There is the second heaven, which is the inner court, which is called the holy place. And there is the third heaven, which is the holies of holies. This Ark that sat inside of this third dimensional step in the types and shadows, the place that's called the holies of holies, it is heaven itself. You say, can you prove that by the Bible? I certainly can. If I didn't know that, I wouldn't be trying to teach it to you. The heavens is represented in the earth by the holies of holies. Look at the big brazen altar right here. I brought some of this out the other night. Look at the big brazen altar. Where is the first dimensional part? It's the Jews. Where is the second dimensional part? It's the Gentiles or the Catholics. Where is the third dimensional part? It's represented by the Protestants, but it's really the millennium. Is that right? I want to go through this quickly again to bring it back to your mind. How do you prove that, Brother Pike? Here, in the outer courts, we've got the big brazen altar. What was the altar for? The altar was for the purpose of sacrificing the lamb upon it. Is that right? Are you listening tonight? Let me slow down here just a little bit because I'm really having a problem trying to talk with you tonight. But the outer courts, the big brazen altar. What was the brazen altar for? It was to offer up the lamb. Is that right? The brazen altar was for the purpose of taking a lamb without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish, and putting it on the big brazen altar. That's why Jesus was likened to the brazen serpent. He was likened to the brazen serpent. So then Calvary is God's big brazen altar. Where is the Lamb? Jesus Christ, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, slain in the mind of God, manifested Calvary. Where is the fire, Brother Pike? God called himself a consuming fire, and the Bible simply esteemed him smitten of God. Is that right? Where is this at? It's in the Jews' dispensation. For when Jesus was crucified, immediately the Jews is cast down. Now, where do you get that? How do you know that just as quick as that priest puts his hands on the top of the head of that animal, then he's slain immediately, the body of that animal is taken without the camps. Is that right? It is taken and burned without the camp. But the life of the inner part of that is burned on the altar as a sweet-smelling savor unto God, mixed with several things that we bring out somewhere here in the teachings of what it represents spiritually. Notice this, that when this lamb is laid on the altar, then this altar consumes the inner parts of this lamb, and then the body is taken and burned without the gates. Is that right? Where does the body go? The Bible said we esteemed him smitten of God. Here, the body of Jesus Christ, if you'll check it, you'll find that the body of Jesus Christ was taken without the gates. He suffered without the gates. Golgotha is without the gates. He suffered without the gates. Is that right? Because the body was taken without the gates. It could not stay in the courts. Is that right? It was slain and taken without the gates. We esteem him smitten of God. He was taken without the gates. Now, when this inner life left, it went back to God. For the Bible said that at death the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Everyone that has accepted the death of Jesus Christ as being the atonement for their life, their body is dead. Their body is dead, and their body is without the gates of heaven. Is that right? Their body is without the gates of heaven. It's buried. But the spirit, the inner part, has become a sacrifice unto God that's well-pleasing, sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ, and has been received up into heaven. And all of the prayers that we pray are bottled up in heaven as sweet-smelling incense to be loosed in the presence of God at the proper time. That's where the vials come in. Notice this, that without the gates, we suffer. Without the gates, but the inner spirit is with God. For when the Lamb dies on the big brazen altar, it's in the Jewish dispensation. Is that right? Just as the body goes without the gate, so it was when Jesus was crucified that the Jews were cut off and they've been without the gates ever since. The body has been out of the presence of God, and the Jews have wandered in darkness because they became the scapegoat. They became the body that was without the gates. Is that right? God had the Jews to be the bodily part that was without the gates. But we are those that dwell in heaven. I read it to you tonight. Where are we? This is the Protestant age, the holies of holies, the third dimensional type. Is that right? Now, we're people that belong to the millennium, which is not a type, but the reality of the thing. Protestants is only a type. But we're not Protestants. Somebody says, Brother Pike, are you Catholic? Are you Jew? Are you Protestants? I'm not either one. I'm a Christian. I'm a saint of God. I dwell in heaven. I'm not a type. I'm a reality. I'm a son of God. And so then we belong to the millennium. The Protestant is only a type of the holies of holies. So we are they that dwell in heaven. I want to cover just a little bit of teachings here so that I can bring my thoughts out. Maybe I won't get to it tonight, but sometime I'll bring it out if I just get this foundation laid for it. So then, here the Ark of the Covenant in the holies of holies is a type of heaven. At Calvary, the Christ got up, rose from the grave, and what did he do? He put on his beautiful garment. What was the beautiful garment? The body of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Christ put on the body of Jesus, which was Aaron's beautiful garment. Why? Because he had to ascend up into the holies of holies, which is heaven, and sat on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Is that right? He went up. The priest always, once a year, went in there. He didn't go in there without blood. He had to have the blood of that lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. When the Lord went up, he took his own blood. A lamb taking his own blood. He ascended up into the presence of the eternal Father, and he sat down over here to make intercession for us. Now, remember the Old Testament. I said this year before, and I want to say it again tonight, that if the priest tarried a long time, it meant trouble. Is that right? If that priest didn't turn around and come right back, it meant trouble. If that priest went in there and he stayed very long, it meant trouble. How many remember the days of Zechariah? How many remember that? Over there, the Bible said when John the Baptist died, he went in there to pray. But he tarried long, and the people got trouble because they knew something was wrong. And finally, when he came out, he couldn't speak because he'd seen an angel. And so then, if he tarried long, it meant trouble. But if he returned right away, all was well. Everybody praise God. Now look at the types. Here, when Jesus went away, what happened? He's tarried a long time. Is that right? He's tarried a long time. All through the church ages, he hadn't come out yet. He won't come out to Revelation 19. That means something's wrong. It means God's upset. It means trouble for everybody. When he comes back, he'll come out with a vesture dipped in blood. He'll come out in judgment upon them that dwell on the earth. But look at the church. He didn't tarry long, did he? He said, I'll go away, I'll come again. The world won't see me, but I'll be with you, I'll be in you. He didn't tarry long for the church. Everything's well with the church because he returned right back in our heart. He wouldn't let it come right straight back and said, everything's all right. So then we see the high priest's work. That makes us to know that the revelation is true because the third court is a type of heaven. Is that right? What heaven is it? It's a type of the third heaven. Where do you get that, Brother Pike? Like Brother Branham said, Brother Branham went into a heaven and the voice said, Jesus is up a little higher. A little higher where? In the third heaven. Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. Is that right? He was up into the third heaven. How do you know that? Because like Brother Branham's vision said, the Lord is up a little higher. Higher in the third heaven. Where is Jesus at? He's right up there with God. That's the third heaven. That's up there where the throne is. He's right up there in the high places. Is that right? So then, we read to you here that Lucifer was in heaven. Lucifer was in heaven. The Bible said that there he was in heaven, and there was great war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon prevailed not, and the dragon was cast out into the earth because there was no place found for him in heaven. Where was Lucifer at? He was up there in the second heavens. That's why Jesus hung between heaven and earth, is to show that the middle wall of partition was the place where Satan had set up his kingdom. Now watch it. God had excommunicated Satan, booted him out of heaven, and he set up his kingdom between heaven and earth. That's why that Satan is trying so hard to make his nest among the stars by putting a human body on the moon and giving it full control of the entire world. How is he doing it right now? Through the means of the telestar, is that right? He's got world communication right now through the means of the telestar, which is a type of his star. Satan doing an antitype of it. So then, the moon was to be a nest among the stars. He was to make his nest among the stars. And the Bible said, though thou climbest up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars. Up here, Satan, in the second heaven. That's why the Bible points out that the moon shall turn to blood. Because the battle between the red dragon and the man-child has to take place on the moon. You say, how do you get that? All right, watch and see. Right here at Calvary, this is the moon. I made the statement earlier. It was the moon. Look at the great battle. What is it? It's the battle between the spirit life and the blood life. Because blood life goes back to sex life. It goes back to the garden. That goes back to Cain. But when you get the other life, which is a spirit life, what does it do? It goes back to Seth, which is the replacement. Now, some of you know how I teach that. We got a tape on it where we teach that the Jews was Abel and that the Catholic people was the Cain that killed him out, and that God replaced Abel with Seth, who is the Protestant people, by bringing in this age. Is that right? A lot to be said about that. But anyway, here it is. The woman standing on the moon. Look at the sixth seal in the book of Revelation, where the Bible said the heavens rolled back as a scroll and the stars fell from heaven. Haven't you ever read that in that opening of the sixth seal? What was that? That was Calvary. When that seal was opened, it was right here at Calvary that the heavens rolled back as a scroll. And the stars that fell from heaven was the wandering stars of evil spirits that could not stay when Christ died for sin. They had to come out. That's why in this latter time, speaking of the church, there's going to be a great falling away, Brother Jimmy. There's a lot of people among us that's wandering stars. When the writer speaks of them, he calls them wandering stars. He said they don't have any light, and the mist of darkness is reserved for them forever. Speaking in the physical dimensions. You understand what I'm saying? When I speak of them being cast out of yonder, I'm speaking in the spiritual dimensions. How do you understand what I'm saying? And so then Michael fought with Satan. Here's the great battle between the blood life, which is a corruptible life. The great battle after 3 days. The blood life will corrupt the body. But Jesus went down to the heart of the earth, and for those 3 days, like Jonah, he struggled and he defeated it. And he come up victorious with the keys. Is that right? He had to go down there and defeat the flames of hell, because the flames of hell also represented the red dragon, in that it was the devouring powers of the soul. And he went down there, he walked through the chambers of hell and took the keys to it and came back up. Is that right? He gave the keys to the kingdom to Peter and then told John of us that I got the keys to death and to hell. Is that right? Having given the keys to Peter to open the door that was in heaven. How could Peter unlock the door that was in heaven? By the spiritual revelation, when he said flesh and blood hath not revealed this or revelated this unto thee, but my Father has given thee a spiritual revelation, he said. And he said, upon this rock. What rock? The Bible said God is a rock. Who is a rock but our God? Upon the Spirit, upon this revelation, I will establish the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who is the gates of hell? If we're the gates of heaven, the Bible said, lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, then that means the world out yonder, the gates to hell. When they open up, you go right into the pits of hell through their conversation. Is that right? So then, looking at this, we see that the door was open in heaven. A great battle took place. John, 96 A.D., recording it, seeing it unveiled. The great battle took place, the battle between the spirit and the blood life, and the red dragon was cast out of heaven. Now, you say, where do you get that? How do we know that the blood's in the heart, speaking physically now, in the physical dimension here? 1, 2, 3. The blood is in the heart. Can anybody tell me where the kingdom of heaven is? Where is it? The Bible said it's within you. Whereabouts within you? With the heart, man believeth. Is that right? As a man thinketh in his heart, the kingdom of God is the thoughts of God. And the thoughts of God is God, the eternal spiritual word. Always been the word. And the heart can have faith in that mind of God. The Bible said, stir up the pure heart, the pure mind. Here's the pure mind. A man after God's own heart. Is that right? It was a spiritual mind. He had the spiritual mind of God in here. A heart of purity. Is that right? He prayed God forgive him for the thoughts and intents of his heart. You know how the revelation of Jesus Christ came to me? The one thing I did many years ago, I said, God, I want to love truth. I said, I want truth. I don't care how much it hurts me. I want it. And God, I want a heart just like your heart. And God, I pray you forgive me for the thoughts and intents of my heart. That's been my prayers all down through the years. I prayed God make me a perfect man in my generation like he was to Noah. What is it? See, the door is open in heaven. John saw the revelation. He saw the door open. Peter had opened the door. The Jews rejected it, but the Gentiles accepted it. And you don't see the Jews entering in until many years later, after the church ages, where the revelation of John becomes effective and makes it look like it was written for our day. That's why we preach it in our day. So then the Jews did not recognize the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. But the Jews said, away with him, crucify him. Is that right? But Jesus said, you're closing the door. Away, foolish virgins that don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't have any oil. He said, you'll go out in the darkness. But he said, I say to you that many shall come from the east and from the west. That is, the Gentiles shall come in from the east and the west. And said, they shall sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom. Though the Jews were the children of the kingdom of David, yet they had to be cut out in the darkness. He said, they'll be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth at the wailing walls of Jerusalem. They beat it. They cry. They wait for the Messiah because they're cut out in the darkness. But from the east and from the west, the Gentiles have come in and they've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. He said, you yourself shall be cast out while you see them coming from the east and the west and sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom. Is that right? It happened just exactly the way the Messiah said it would happen. So then, a door was open in heaven. Have you got a few more minutes? A door was open in heaven. What did he do? He set his covenant in the clouds, the second heaven. Between heaven and earth, there was a place where Satan had set up his kingdom. Daniel fasting 21 days, trying to get to that third heaven, to get God to do something for his people. But that middle wall of partition was in there. Satan had his kingdom set up in between there. And Daniel just kept on bombarding, kept on praying. What was he doing? He was breaking down the middle wall of partition. All right, let's bring it down to the physical dimension. You say, how was he breaking down the middle wall of partition? Because in the physical dimension, the middle wall of partition is shown as the flesh. Is that right? Thine iniquities are separated between you and God. And right here, God broke the flesh down. Corruptible flesh, he that knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He broke down the middle wall of partition of the keeping of man-made ordinances which was imposed upon us by the law of Moses. He killed the flesh, and anything that's dead to the law doesn't have to serve the law. And tonight, by the body of Jesus, I am dead to the law, and my spirit went back to God who gave it, and I'm not under bondage to the law. People that teach you got to keep the Old Testament, they don't even know what they're talking about. They're just heretics. Notice this, that a door was opened in heaven. Jesus was the door. The Jews rejected it. The Gentiles went into it. John saw this door and he went right up, being a type of the church. He went right up. When the voice said, come up hither, he went right up. Who opened the door? Peter did. Both to the Gentiles and to the Jew. He opened the door. He had the keys, which was a revelation. Why are we preaching a revelation tonight? We are preaching a revelation to show to you that a door is open in heaven and your spirit, which is in prison in those human bodies, can break loose from it and go through the spiritual mind of Christ and enter into the holies of holies by faith in God. Notice this. There is a mind between your spirit and God's spirit. There is a mind between your mind and God's mind. There is a spirit between your spirit and God's spirit. There is a body between your body and God's body. Is that right? That's the man Christ Jesus. You see the three-dimensional phases of what I'm trying to say, you where it won't be confusing. So then, the door is open in heaven by the door of the Holy Ghost Spirit. My spirit can pass through the Holy Ghost Spirit, which is the great filter of God, and go right into the presence of God. For when my spirit passes through the Holy Ghost just filters out everything that's unlike God. And when he comes up in the presence of God, God sees him filtered by the Holy Ghost, and he doesn't see any of my sins. He sees all of my sins gone by Calvary. Is that right? He sees my blood life defeated. He sees the red dragon that stayed in here in the heart defeated. The Bible said when Jesus died that he went down in the heart of the earth. Is that right? To loose the soul that was in prison, that died and waited in the long suffering of Noah. Is that right? that soul that's in prison tonight is out there in the human bodies. And when the Holy Ghost came, he went into my heart to loose my soul from the prison of this death. How have you ever heard that song? This body's but bars of bones. How many of you ever heard Dottie Rambo and them sing that song? That's right. Someday, waiting for this prison to be open. This prison is open. And deep down in the heart here, down where the blood, his blood represents fire. He went down in the heart of that blood. What was that? Before God turned that into heaven, that was hell. My brother, you're burned in your lust, in your bloodstream, in the iniquity of your own life. The heat comes from the blood. It's a fire in the heart of the earth that you're burned inside of your lust. Is that right? But Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, the natural Jesus, went down into a natural earth, to a natural fire. But a spiritual Christ went down inside of my spirit and loosed my spirit from the powers of iniquity. Satan is a burning hell. He is a burning fire of lust. And my spirit was imprisoned to that fire of lust, burned in my lust, until God came into my heart and loosed the soul and took it out and said, let it go free. That's why that paradise being in the heart of the earth was moved out of the heart of the earth. And where was it moved to? It was moved into the presence of God. Is that right? When the rich man looked across a great gulf, he saw Lazarus. Is that right? In Abraham's bosom. A great gulf apparently was the bottomless pit. Hell down here and the bottomless pit. He looked across that bottomless pit and looked over there in paradise, and there stood Father Abraham. That's when he said, Father Abraham, said, let Lazarus come down here and dip his fingers in some water and cool my tongue. Said, I'm tormented to these flames. Is that right? And he stayed with me a few more minutes. I got some more things to say. If not, we'll have to cut off here. So then, God, having Abraham look across the great gulf, he said, we can't come down there. You can't get up here because you can't make the crossing. And we can't get down there. What did that great gulf represent? It represented the carnal mind of the beast, the bottomless pit, the infinity that you can't cross over. You're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of a truth. It has no bottom to it. It has no foundation to it. You can study books and study books and study books. And when you get through studying all of the books, you're just as mixed up or more mixed up than you was when you started. It's an infinity. It's a bottomless pit. It's the carnal mind. And they that are not born of God can't get over Jordan. That's what it represents. Can't get over it. It means sure death. To drop off into that pit. It's darkness. It's death to the soul. And you're bound with chains of circumstances to where you can't get out. You're bound with the chains of intellectual thinking. How many of you know that? You ever heard that? That a person is a chain smoker? A person is a chain talker? They're a chain thinker? They're bound in chains of darkness. They're bound with their own intellectual understanding, which is chains of darkness. That soul is bound with fear and perplexity and bewilderment and wondering and ever searching, ever learning, and never able to come to the bottom to find out what's going on. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then Daniel bombarded heaven. He kept bombarding heaven. And finally, what did he do? He broke it down, and then he got an answer. Is that right? God said, I heard you to start with, but he said, when I sent down there, he said that these angels that came, they were intercepted by the powers of Satan. Remember, it was angel against angel, and the angels fought. The angels of darkness fought, and the angels of light fought, and there was a battle between them. All of them great and mighty angels. But finally, the angel Michael broke through. The Bible said he rose up. How did he do it? Because Daniel remembered something. When the temple of Solomon was built, it said that if anybody looks toward this temple, that God will hear from heaven. And the Bible said Daniel, three times a day, he went and looked toward that temple. The Bible said that that's New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. And if we can look toward Calvary and call on Calvary, we can tell at Calvary that the middle wall of petition has been broken down, and we have the power and the victory over Satan. Michael came and cast the devil out. Where did he do it? At Calvary. Daniel saw this thing and won the victory over it. Is that right? The battle was on. Michael cast the angels out. John caught the revelation in 96 A.D. and recorded how that he saw a third part of the stars fall from heaven, which was the evil spirits. That's reflectors, not suns. Not suns. How many know that the sun is a star? And all of those true stars are little suns that have their own light. But every wandering star doesn't hold a position. It just wanders to and fro. Like that, it doesn't have a light. It just reflects the light of other people. Wandering stars. People that just wander. Look at people out on the road. Some of them never work, just dope addicts, just wandering here and there. Wandering stars, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That is a carnal mind. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. That is, get them out of the carnal mind to the mind of the Lord Jesus. So then there's a door that's open in heaven. We pray that God might grant repentance unto life to them that are without out there, that they might be to God through us, that we might intercede as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our bowels of compassion are open. As long as our door is open, then they can come through us, through our prayers, our perseverance, our testimonies to God, and be saved. But if we ever close our bowels of compassion, it is the closing of the door to the Gentile people. And I'll tell you what, they're closing it pretty fast. People won't even hardly pray with you anymore. They say, give us of your all. They say, we just got enough for ourselves. It's getting darker and darker. We can just make it now. We used to have enough that our cup run over, pray people through at the altar, but now we just got enough to hold on ourselves. It's getting darker and darker. Is that right? We're the door. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, how do you get that? You say that the door was open in heaven. My brother and sister, we are those that dwell in heaven. Is that right? We are those that dwell in heaven. I wish you was more spiritual tonight. I'd love to say a few more things to you. I keep wanting to close off here because I feel I've done lost some of my congregation. Some of them so fleshly they're wanting to go home already. I ought to just close out right here and just let that go. I'm going to try one more time. If I hit that snag again, I'm going to close out. So then, the door was open in heaven, the battle was on, and the bloodstream began to battle with the spirit life. Is that right? The blood began to battle with the spirit. And there was a great battle in heaven. There was a great battle in heaven. And so then blood life was kicked out because it was beast life that started back there in the garden, that bred a mind of resentment and a mind of carnality and a mind of death. To be carnally minded is death. And so God put the educational mind of the tree of knowledge to silence. He did it here at Calvary for everyone that will believe and reject their knowledge as dung as Paul did. Get into the revelation. God has taken away that old carnal mind. Is that right? The blood life has been defeated. And today, how many of you know that when Jesus went over there, he told him, he said, fill of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He didn't have any blood because he spilt the blood here. The devil was defeated. The blood life was gone. The old red dragon went out. Is that right? What kind of life did he have? He had that life of Jesus Christ, the second man Adam, that quickening spirit life. For the Bible said the first man Adam made a living soul. The soul represented the blood. But when it comes back, how do you know that the blood represents the soul? The Bible said God breathed the breath of life into man and he became a living soul. What is it that breathes? It's your blood. Your blood has to have oxygen. He breathed the breath of life. If you don't believe that, just hold your nose long enough and watch that soul die out. The Bible said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Is that right? But he said if we'll continue in God, he wouldn't blot us out of the book of life. Have you know that you're in the book of life tonight? There is a record in heaven that you're breathing and eating and walking and talking. You're reckoned for in the book of life. But brothers and sisters, unless we convert over and come into things of God, God is going to mark us out of the book of life and we'll never be accounted for in the land of the living anymore. But if we'll convert over, we can have eternal life. I'm going to say this right hurry because I know that my time is limited in the sense that you're not going to listen. I can tell it already. And I'm just about middle ways of my sermon right now. But I want you to notice this one thing. That temporal life that came yonder in the garden is no more, as I said in the past, than a little thump of the heart. That's all it is. Some of you have heard me illustrate it. How that God showed me, just take a can full of fluid, turn it upside down, punch a little hole in it, don't let any air get in it, and the sides will just go in and out, plunk, 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 just like that. Just with a Google, that's all you are. That's the only life you got, is just a Google, that's all. You stand on your feet, and that blood comes out of the heart, and when it does, it pulls the walls in and out, just like that. And because it goes through your body, it creates a friction, which is heat, and that heat is what keeps you limber, keeps them walls in there soft, and keeps you alive. When a person begins to get old, and the heat, they begin to slow down in activity, and the body, the pump that's in here, which is the pump of life, the heart, it don't pump it as freely. And they begin to get stale and begin to slow down. And the oils begin to drop and freeze up on them. And the body isn't generating anymore the heat that it has in the past. And eventually, the spirit that's on the inside of the blood, the life being in the blood, it has to turn it loose and goes back to God who gave it. Is that right? You are nothing more than just a breath of life. And unless you can believe on the Lord Jesus and change over to the mind of God in the eternal life of God, then you will die in your sins, which is your carnal mind, your reasoning. But if you can believe on the mind of the Lord, the Bible teaches that second man, Adam, was not the created son of God as Adam was from the dust, but he was the begotten, born again son. We are born to the Shekinah. While Adam was in the presence of the Shekinah, could be led out by enticement by the mind of the beast, we are born to the Shekinah glory of God, and we cannot die, because he being the beginning of the creation of God, then brothers and sisters tonight, we are the sons of God by new birth. I changed over from that old temple life to this eternal life. And when Jesus breathed on those that stood there, they did not receive the breath of life, but they received the Holy Ghost, which was life. There is a change. You're not anything unless you make that change. You're no more than a beast until you make that change, and then you become a god. You can't ever die. But if you don't make that change by faith, then my brothers and sisters, you have to die. Here is the battle. The red dragon cast out of heaven. John recorded what took place. Cast out of heaven. Look at it just for a few more minutes. Now close out. If you're tired and want to go home, go on home. Look at it here. The Bible said that the woman had her foot on the moon. Is that right? Here is the woman. Who? Jesus. Jesus. Somebody didn't like what I said. They froze up on me. That shows how much God you got. The woman had her foot on the moon. Here the woman, which is the Lord Jesus, inasmuch as the woman is referred to as the flesh, which is called the great whore, being the female part, while the spirit goes into the heart, being the male part. So then, here is the woman, Jesus, having received the seed of God, going into hard travail. The Christ was formed in his life, and that Christ came forth. The woman with a foot on the moon, and the crown of 12 stars, which was the teachings of the 12 apostles I brought out the other night. America was a type of that woman, having him 13 stars on the flag. Paul came into that also, you remember. Here she's got 12 stars, or he has, here. The teachings of the 12 apostles, the mind, the crown of the understanding, the head that's taking his thoughts to the world, his crown of life. Now, there's a lot we could say about it, but I'm just dropping in something along the way. You can pick it up and you can run the branches out. I wish we had time to kind of adorn things a little bit tonight to show you what we're doing. But I've been trying for I don't know how many days now just to get to one thought. I ain't been able to get to it yet. So the woman with her feet on the moon. Look at America. Here's the woman. The feet on the moon. Peter said that this was the end of the world. That's why John wrote the book of Revelation. Because the world had come to an end. Wasn't anything left except heaven. The world was over. That was the end of the world. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, how is it that all these people lived on down here in the earth all this time? Because the world ended right here for those that could believe. And the others was not to comprehend what had taken place until after the church ages. Like I said about the first resurrection being proven and brought back over there in Revelation 19. How many believe we are the resurrection alive? We're in the first resurrection. I preached this morning, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Jesus was the first resurrection. We are in the first resurrection. But it is accounted for in Revelation 19. Because man looks on the outward appearance, and that's when he comes off of the throne over there. That's when the blood comes off the mercy seat. And the wrath of God comes back on the people. He's coming in judgment. That's what Enoch prophesied of. So then, here the woman gave birth to the man child. And everyone that is part of the body of that man child, just as quick as you're born again, you leave this world, leave this mind, and go into the mind of Christ and enter into the heavens. Is that right? The very minute that I was born, I was caught up to the throne, and I've been up there ever since. I've overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father tonight. Amen. That's right. Everyone that's a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ sets down that throne, because that throne is heaven, and heaven was made for Jesus. Is that right? And we're the body of the members. And we're sitting in the throne tonight, and we've got the Word of God, which is a rod of iron, to rule the world, waiting for the manifestation of the sons. We'll come back in Revelation 19, be manifested to the world, and there we will set up the kingdom of God in the millennium, and all the world will have to take a bow to the sons of God. We'll straighten out the whole gummy mess. So then, it was the end of the world. For everyone that believed, death was conquered. The beast mind was gone. Heartaches was over. The man that picked up just a little bit of it can throw him up a big tent and go out here and have miracles. A man that just sees a little bit of it can open the blind eyes, because Satan is defeated. He's no longer in heaven. What does it mean now that he's not in heaven? The Bible said, now has come the strength and the power of God's Christ. God's Christ that had power and strength to give to the church could not exercise that power or that strength until Satan was cast out. So if Satan was cast out at Calvary, everyone that believes can work miracles or do something in the way of deliverance, because they know that the people is not bound and Satan can't hold them any longer. So then, those that can believe, Caesar, but seven church ages has to go by. Cut down the tree, let seven times pass over it, which was the Jews to grow again, Nebuchadnezzar's day. The 7 years of tribulation. So then, after the tribulation period, after the tribulation period, Revelation 19, all of a sudden the people recognize that Satan really is defeated. But the saints knew that a long time before. God shortened the days of the elect's sake back here at Calvary so he could spare some flesh. Otherwise, all of it would have went down the drain. But he preserved us by eternal life and made us without spot, wrinkle, or blemish so he could have some of us at his coming. So then death was conquered here for us. We went into the first resurrection here. Is that right? The second death, which is the lake of fire, don't have any power over us, because that's the death of the soul. The first is asleep. We've overcome that. Is that right? There's a great sermon in that. A great revelation in that. But anyway, speaking of the conquering of death, we can't go in that. But right here, the child was caught up to the throne to rule with a rod of iron. And Satan was cast out of heaven. Out of which heaven? The second heaven. I want to remind you one more time. Now, we preached on this somewhere. But I want to remind you. How did Satan lose his place in heaven? How did he get in heaven to start with? It was because of grace. As long as there is grace, Satan can live in the heart of mankind and work his evil device, because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. But the day that grace is over, Satan can no longer come into the presence of God as he did in the days of Job to accuse the sons of God. Now the accuser's cast out. When? Whenever we believe it. Where did it happen? At Calvary. When will it be recognized? Revelation 19. So then, the second court is grace. Are you listening? The first court is the law. That's Jew. The big brazen altar, Calvary. But the second court was the one that had the seven candlesticks and the 12 cakes, which was the shewbread. That showed the second age, which is after Calvary, coming in the days of grace, called the holy place. That's the second heaven. The days of grace is the second heaven. Here is the bread of life, which is the 12 apostles, them little cakes that was over there. And here is the candlesticks, which is the church ages throwing their light on them little cakes over there. What is that? That's the place of the priesthood where the priests eat. It's the Catholic age that believes in the priest. That's the reason they've got this age under their control. But there's one more age coming. The holies of holies, which is the millennium. The Protestant age is still the Catholic age. It's just a type of the millennium government, which is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Have you ever heard that song? The best is yet to come. That's our regime. We've never had a kingdom. We've never set up anything. We've never ruled. The Jews will be the head of the nation. We'll be the government. So then, the second one is the days of grace. Law is the first heaven. And the second is the days of grace. And Satan can stay there as long as the blood is on the mercy seat. Though he's been defeated, yet because of grace, it doesn't come to pass for the world as a whole until after the church ages. Is that right? But we can accept it by faith right there, and they could have said accepted it from Calvary like the apostles did and set up the kingdom and go right on in and take it for Christ. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, Satan's been defeated and the kingdom of God has been preached. Thy will be done on earth. Set up the kingdom on earth as in heaven to bring in a millennium. Is that right? Press your way into the kingdom. Preach the kingdom of God is at hand. Is that right? The Bible said they preached the name Jesus and the kingdom of God. That was their message. So then, when the message of the kingdom is preached in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. So we see that here, Satan was cast out of the days of grace. When the blood comes off of the mercy seat, Satan is no longer in the presence of God because the sinners, the evil ones, in whom Satan dwells, is rejected from the presence of God. That's his stars falling from heaven, his subjects, the wandering stars that don't have any light. But look at the woman. The woman was still in heaven. That is, she's still in grace. The Bible didn't say she was cast out of heaven. How many of you know the church is in heaven? How many of you know that America's got a foot on the moon representing the woman? We are in heaven. Is that right? Where are we standing? We're standing between heaven and earth in the days of grace. What is this that's over our head? What is it? It's the teaching of the 12 apostles that crowns our understanding. What is that great light that's shining from heaven? It's the Holy Ghost, God the day star. The woman was clothed with the sun. What is that moon that we're standing on? We're standing on the apostles and prophets, which is the law. That's the lesser light. The law, standing on the moon, standing on the foundation, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. There it is right here. So then the woman went into a wilderness. And we could say a lot about that, but we just don't condense it right here. She went into a wilderness. What is the wilderness? Just as quick as this man child is called, which means the people that have the Holy Ghost, they'll be caught up. That child formed within you, he comes forth, and then he's caught up into heaven. That's what's happening right now. These people that's getting the mind of God right now, it's going up to the throne. It's the man child being born. And the church world out yonder will have to go through the tribulation period. Three and a half years. A place prepared for. That's why Brother Terrell keeps doing what he's doing. Because he's a type of in his third dimensional age. So then the woman goes away in a wilderness. Is that right? The antitypes. Kissinger born over here. Quick as he's born, America being in travail, she goes into a wilderness of frustration. Is that right? But Kissinger, the man child, coming up, caught up to the Pope of Rome, the throne. The throne, is that right? The Pope of Rome, the throne. Caught up to the throne. I said he'd be interested in Kissinger, which is his. He gets control of the food through that system that we spoke of the other night, the social security number, heading it up in 666, running through that great computer thing, that social security number, coming up, putting the numbers on all of the food, getting the food together, putting a computer number on it, already got it on it, running it up as I explained it in the message the other night, running up into the head of the papacy of Rome taking over to control the world through numerical order. The papacy of Rome getting it through the social security benefits, running it up. How many believe that's going to come to pass? It's going to come to pass. We said that years ago, that it would come, that social security number was part of the work of the beast. And so this coming up, what is that? Kissinger getting control of the food, the government getting control of food. Because the man that sits up there at the right hand of God will have control of all the spiritual food. Is that right? The days of Joseph, when everybody had to come to him. They had to get rid of their land and their houses, which typifies their physical bodies, their physical means. They'll have to surrender it to him to be able to get something. So then, I'm going to close here. So then, the woman goes away into a wilderness. After that the man-child is born, the man-child goes up into the mind of God, sitting at the right hand of the Father, but the woman goes into the confederation of churches. She's caught away in the wilderness. A place prepared for her to be tutored times, time, and a half a time. That's what old Robertson Billy Graham has been representing. While Brother Branham represented the man child was caught away from here and went up into heaven. Is that right? And you see it now, but brother, you see Brother Terrell and Brother Walden representing them two prophets. Brother Walden learning all the ways of the Egyptians, the things of the world, being a smart businessman, a type of Moses. Look over here at Brother Terrell, rugged. Just no education, no nothing, hollering judgment, screaming out the fire of God, Elijah. Centered around what? Around this message called the revelation of Jesus Christ, because that's all they center around. The covering cherubs, that's all they can do. What are they doing? They're prophesying judgment. All the time calling for judgment. And that's good, that's true, it's got to come. But the thing is, where is the way of escape? It's the door that's open in heaven. It's the message of the revelation of Jesus Christ. They're beat down. The people done beat, slapped down. Prophesied to death. They done told them they're going to die. Every prophecy comes true. You're going to die. Warning, you're going to die. You're beat down. God isn't going to hear you. All of this, the judgment coming on the world. But children, the Bible said, fear not, little flock, for it's thy Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. I got a little flock here somewhere, and God's going to give them the kingdom, so don't have any fear. All that promises against some people out there that won't obey God. Hallelujah, I feel good, don't you? I feel released. I feel like I'm up here in heaven somewhere. That's right, I do. There's a door that's open in heaven, and you can go into it if you want to. You can go into it, but don't wait. Don't fool yourself. Don't wait. Let's stand together, will you? Now has come power. Now has come the power of the Christ. When? Whenever you believe in what he done. By faith you can do it. Whenever you believe in what he done. Now has come power. Now has come deliverance. Why? Well, Lucifer's cast out. He doesn't have any power anymore. God destroyed him that had power over death. We've conquered death. Death is gone, swallowed up in victory. What victory? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith, contend for the faith. That's our victory tonight. Faith in what Jesus done at Calvary. They overcame him. Who? The red dragon. How? The bloodline? How? By the words of their testimony to the blood of the Lamb. What the blood of the Lamb had done, they testified to it. They overcome. They had faith in it. So then, this body, my brother, has been baptized unto death. And as many as been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. The body has gone away in the wilderness. Because at death the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. The inner Christ, the man-child, was caught up to the throne. Your body is dead. That woman's in the wilderness. But don't worry about her. She's been tutored by the prophets, the ministry. For times, time, and half time. Everything will be all right. She's taken care of. Don't worry about the body. Redemption is coming. You hear that song, "The Day of Redemption is Near"? The day of redemption is near. You ever sing that song? You love the Lord tonight? You love the Lord? Something has happened. I've been caught up in heaven. You're not of this world. God's chosen you out of this world. You're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, sitting down in the throne with God, whom the heavens have received until the millennium, the time of restitution, restoring of all things. Is that right? God's here. The angels are here. Two or three gather my name. I'm here. That's heaven. Angels are kept round about us. That's heaven. Setting together where? In heavenly places. Jesus said, I'm in heaven, Nicodemus. I'm in heaven. My old man is dead and gone. He's been buried. And when they buried him down there, I left him. You know where I went to? I went to heaven. That's where I'm at. I like it up here. I don't go down there anymore. I like it up here. That's right. Someday, I'll pick up the old man. That's right. After he served his sentence, after everything is gone and seven times has passed over him, pick him back up. Let the tree grow again. How many know the trees of God are full of sap?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Green life. A great thing is taking place. This is exciting. Oh, this is exciting. You ever took a trip to the moon? Well, don't bother to waste your time. Take a trip with me. Take a trip with me. Somebody say, I'll take a trip on dope. I'll take a trip with the astronauts. All that's child stuff. Take a trip with me. The angels are with you. You are fellowshipping angels. Be careful how you entertain strangers. Because if they're sons of God, angels, and kept round about them. And while you're entertaining them, you're entertaining angels unaware. You don't know that they're there, but they're there. They're kept round about them. Is that right? Have you understood what I'm saying? So then, remember the angels of God are here. You ought to be able to see them. The prophet saw them. The prophet saw them, and the other fellow said, I can't see them. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes in the same place where there was no angels. All of a sudden, there was fire chariots and prince and horses. They're here. Fire chariots are here tonight. Prince and horses. How do you know that? They're here. I want to sing that little chorus, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Can we? They're here tonight. Fire chariots are here. Elijah was a type caught away like the church. Is that right? What a wonderful time. What a wonderful day. And Brother Branham said that if his audience could be in the same dimension, the vision I had of looking at these things in heaven, how wonderful to move from dimension to dimension. How many know this is called the third dimension? We're living in the age of everything being third dimension. Is that right? Why? Because this is the third heaven. It's the third heaven. This is the third dimensional projecting of the teachings of the mind of Christ. We're in heaven, my brother. We're in the holies of holies. The veil has been rent in twain. Because of that, now we just pass right through the door. Right into the holies of holies. Right in the heavens. Right in the presence of God. What will the mind of God do for us? It is the word of God that heals. He sent it to heal, to save. He sent it to change. It's what created us. It's that same word mind. God, the eternal spirit. The word spirit. Making man in his image. As I preach this morning. In the Holy Ghost image. Making him. Are you a man tonight? He can make you into an image of a son of God. That's right. All he needs is a man. Come and let us make man in our image. Into sons of God. He said, you come and help me. Is that right? Let's sing this. The angels work with God tonight to make you into his image, my brother. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, I looked across Jordan, and what did I see?